who are performing a yajna on behalf of Maharaj Nabhi and his wife Meru Devi. The purpose of this yajna was that Maharaj Nabhi had a desire to have sons who can rule after him. And out of the causeless mercy, the Lord Vishnu has appeared in the sacrificial arena. And the purpose was to please his devotees, Maharaj Nabhi and his wife Meru Devi. Seeing Lord Vishnu in front of them, the priests are totally humbled and express their deep gratitude in this recital. And continuing in the same mood of humility and gratitude, Srila Prabhupada shares his realizations in this purport. The first realization Srila Prabhupada shares with his viewers or audience is that the Lord has no interest in his own personal benefit. The Lord is selfless. He is supremely whole. He is totally independent, that is Swarat. But out of his causeless mercy, he offers service to his devotees. And Prabhupada, in another purport, in Canto 1, Chapter 16, text numbers 26 to 30, where Mother Earth, in the form of a cow, describes the glories and qualities of Lord Krishna to Dharma, who is there in a form of a bull. And there, she talks about 40 qualities of the Lord and two important qualities of Lord are his intolerance of another's unhappiness. The Lord cannot see others, his devotees and his part and parcels unhappy. And Prabhupada quotes Jiva Goswami's comments. Jiva Goswami tells us that the supreme protector, supreme provider, Lord Krishna, is so compassionate, he cannot see or cannot bear the intolerance towards the unhappiness of others. And this is divided into two aspects. This manifests in Krishna's giving protection to all the surrendered souls, and he is being well-wisher of all his devotees. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is so independent, so self-satisfied, he feels that I have to serve my devotees. I am indebted to my devotees because they provide me unalloyed service to me. Unconditional, selfless, loving service to me, and I have to reciprocate, even though he has no obligation to reciprocate. And devotees also have no such desire in their hearts that the Lord should reciprocate. This is a selfless service between the Lord and his devotees. In short, a competition. Who wants to serve better and better? The Lord is so indebted that he is willing to offer any type of service to his devotees. And one beautiful example is about the gopis. What does the Lord say? The supreme servitors of the Lord. During the last Ras Lila pastime, Krishna tells gopis, I cannot repay your debt and your continuous love for me. Even throughout the lifetime of the demigods, in heavenly planets. It is impossible to repay you or show enough gratitude for your love. Therefore, be satisfied by your own pious activities. So we see how the Lord reciprocates on such a level. He considers himself as indebted, grateful to serve his devotees. And Prabhupada tells us that gratitude or gratefulness is another aspect of knowledge. This is another quality Mother Earth describes about Krishna, how he is so knowledgeable. And Prabhupada tells us that there are five aspects of this knowledge. The knowledge manifests through intelligence, through gratefulness, through power of understanding the circumstantial environment of place, object and time. The supreme knowledge or the perfect knowledge about everything, and the knowledge of the self. So gratitude is a part of knowledge. So Prabhupada says only fools are ungrateful to their benefactors. Those who are ignorant are ungrateful. They cannot reciprocate and they take things for granted. And Prabhupada talks about this aspect and makes us realize how we should reciprocate in a loving way with devotees and please Guru, Vaishnavas and the Lord. The second realization Prabhupada shares with us is about Krishna's causeless mercy. Interestingly, Prabhupada in this brief purport uses that causeless mercy four times in his purport. So that makes us understand how the causeless mercy is very, very important. We have been told our endeavors are important. We endeavor from our side sincerely, seriously, and without duplicity. And Krishna will reciprocate through acharyas and guru and bestow his mercy on the devotee who is very, very sincere. And another aspect of this, for conditioned souls or even sadhakas who are not so advanced, it is really difficult to understand how this causeless mercy gets manifested. It is really difficult for them to understand, because in our conditioning stage of learning, even in schools, outside in this material world, we have been told that you endeavor and you will get the results. You can expect and do whatever you want. For example, a student who works very, very hard in his school or college, he can get first rank. And then he feels, oh, I have done my so much, I have done my best, and I have got the result also. I have achieved my goal. I am great. I am the doer. Kartaham iti manyate. And we being conditioned, we cannot relate to this inconceivable Lord's causeless mercy. How does this manifest in the life of a devotee? And interestingly, Srila Prabhupada again gives us more details about how this causeless mercy is manifested. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's a discussion the first time Swarup Damodar Goswami is meeting Chaitanya Mahaprabhu after he has come from South India Yatra. And Swarup Damodar Goswami talks about the causeless mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He says how that causeless mercy pulled him back from Varanasi and brought him the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada refers to Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur's commentary Anubhashya, and he tells us that as per Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, the causeless mercy manifests in three ways. First, he quotes, this material world is full of struggle. Dukkhalayam ashashvatam. And the conditioned living entity is always miserable. He wants to come out of this miserable situation. And when he takes shelter sincerely of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead through the process of a spiritual master, the mercy is manifested when the devotee becomes happy. Because there's a nature of the spirit soul, Satchitanand. So the miseries are there, but because of the causeless mercy of Krishna, the sadhaka or the devotee transcends these miseries. He is blissful. He is positive. And is enthusiastically charged and doing a devotional service. So this is the first manifestation of causeless mercy. A sadhaka or a devotee becomes blissful and is not affected by the effects of these miseries. The second, Prabhupada tells us that out of causeless mercy, a sadhaka or a devotee can understand the siddhanta properly. The shastras are variegated. There are apparent contradictions. But by the mercy of the Lord, a sadhaka can come to a right conclusion. All his doubts, all his misunderstandings are clear and is firmly fixed up in his siddhanta, grounded to his philosophy. And the third aspect of manifestation of mercy is he is charged to do service. He is more and more and more interested and enthusiastic to do service. And we see this also in pastimes of so many pure devotees, how they are charged in serving the Lord, even though there are so many obstacles in their lives. They overcome their obstacles. That's what Prabhupada tells us, Mahajano ena gatha sapantha. So this is causeless mercy. And beautiful example of this causeless mercy is represented by two fingers in Damodar Leela. The rope that Yashoda Maiya was trying to get for binding Krishna, she brought more and more and more ropes, but always the rope was two fingers short. Our acharyas explain what these two fingers represent. One, our endeavors. And the second, causeless mercy of Krishna. So, causeless mercy plays a very, very important role in our devotional service. And it can be manifested through the mercy of Lord. Lord is Swarat. Sometimes he, to bestow this causeless mercy, he makes his devotees go through struggle. And Rupa Goswami Pad tells us how Krupa Siddhas, by causeless mercy, some of the personalities of Srimad Bhagavatam have become pure devotees by getting causeless mercy. And he mentions two examples, Dhruva Maharaj and Bali Maharaj. And he tells us Dhruva Maharaj's determination, was determined, was willing to go through any of the inconveniences to attain the Lord and get whatever he wanted. So his determination, Krishna put him through many difficulties to show us how one should be determined, and then gave his causeless mercy. He didn't go through a sadhana and rules and regulations. Krishna purified him and gave him his love. The second example of Bali Maharaj, how Krishna humiliated him to show us how tolerance is very, very important. How we have to learn to tolerate. How we have to learn to forgive. And through this example of Bali Maharaj and Dhruva Maharaj, we also understand that in order to get qualified for this causeless mercy, we have to put in our endeavors under the guidance of the spiritual master and the authorities. The third important realization Prabhupada talks about is the deity form of the Lord. Out of his causeless mercy, the Lord appears as a deity form. The deity is totally spiritual, although made of material elements. Why the deity is made of material elements? Prabhupada clarifies. Because we have no vision to see spiritual things. We can see only material things. So that's why, as a service to us, Krishna is willing to serve us by being present in his deity form made out of material objects. And another aspect which our acharyas explain, Krishna appears in a deity form to accept service from his devotees. Even though he's Swarat, he does not want any service, but he gets pleasure, inconceivable aspect of service, reciprocal service. Krishna wants to serve his devotees, and the devotees want to serve Krishna, even though Krishna does not require their service for their own purification. Again, in the section of Chitraketu, 6th canto, Chitraketu has been guided by his gurus Narad Muni and Angira Muni. And Chitraketu has been very, very sincere in following step by step by step the instructions given by his two gurus. And because of the sincerity and seriousness of his efforts, now he has come to a stage where Lord, in the form of Anant Dev, has come in front of him, is giving him darshan face to face. And after seeing Chitraketu, Lord Anant Dev recites a shloka, Aham Vai Sarva Bhutani Bhutatma Bhuta Bhavana Shabda Brahma Param Brahma Mam Ubhe Shashwati Tanu. Prabhupada's translation, all living entities, moving and non-moving, are my expansions and are separate from me. I am the super soul of all living beings who exist because I manifest them. I am the form of transcendental vibrations like Omkar and Hare Krishna, Hare Rama. I am Supreme Absolute Truth. these two forms of mind, namely the transcendental sound and eternally blissful form of deity, are my eternal forms. They are not material. And Lord Anantadev himself confirms this. So naturally, the question comes. The Lord is not in need of any service, but still, to favor his devotees, to engage his devotees in serving him, he takes the helpless form of a deity. Sometimes, as Prabhupada quotes in somewhere else, in one of the another purport, sometimes he is so helpless, he is apparently buried in the ground. Like we see with our Abhidev deity, Govinda Dev. Where was he? He was lying underground, as if he is helpless. And he requests our Abhidev Acharya. He appears as a small boy. And Rupa Goswami is really morose because he cannot find the location and the deity. That is one of the sevas assigned to him by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he sits on the bank of Yamuna. And then small boy appears. Come, come, why are you so concerned? And Rupa Goswami explains to him his difficulty. He says, okay, I'll help you. Come, come to that small hill. And there I'll tell you, every day a cow comes. A cow puts her milk on that particular place where the deity Govinda Dev is there buried in the ground. And to check that, the next day Rupa Goswami comes and he sees the deity. He sees that the cow has come. So he calls the villagers, excavates, and finds that deity. The deity is Swarat, independent. But he tells his devotees, come on, help me. Get me out from this place. I'm buried here. I'm helpless. Because Govinda Dev wanted service from Rupa Goswami to tell us how his pure devotees serve and please him and how they build temple for him. Similarly, another example of Madhavendra Puri, Gopinath, again hidden, again helpless. And again, he comes in his dream. Come on, take me out, lift me out, build a temple for me. And Madhavendra Puri does that. Again, the deity comes in his form, in his dream. I am feeling hot. Get sandalwood pulp, sandalwood and then pulp from Nilachal. And Madhavendra Puri goes all the way walking nearly 1,500 kilometers. There is a pastime in Remuna. Again, that Khirchor Gopinath, so-called Khirchor, because he performs a leela for the pleasure of his devotee, to glorify his devotee. He offers him kheer because the devotee wanted it. And then we see how Madhavendra Puri goes to the Nilachal Jagannath Puri, collects sandalwood and camphor, comes to Remuna, and again the deity Gopinath comes in his dream. I and Gopalji and Gopinath are non-different. So please serve and apply Chandan to Gopinathji, Khirchor Gopinath. So this deity performs such pastimes to glorify his devotee. We see in another pastime of Sakshi Gopal. In that pastime, Sakshi Gopal, the junior Brahmana, टेल्स गोपाल जी, प्रतिमा प्रतिमा नहीं तुम्ही साक्षात ब्रजेंद्र नंदन. हाउ कुड ही रियलाइज दिस? बिकॉज ऑफ हिज सर्विस एटीट्यूड, द वे ही वॉज सर्विंग द एल्डर ब्राह्मणा ऑल थ्रू आउट देयर यात्रा, सर्विंग कॉज विदाउट एनी सेल्फिश मोटिव. द लॉर्ड वॉज प्लीज्ड एंड ही एग्रीड टू बी अ विटनेस when this younger brahmana had a difficulty and the senior brahmana was trying to, because of forced circumstances and problems, was refusing to give his daughter in marriage to this younger brahmana. And to salvage the image of the senior brahmana out of this causeless, selfless intentions, this junior brahmana goes to Sakshi Gopal and says, please come, save both of us because we have taken a vow in front of you. And Sakshi Gopal comes. This is deity form of the law. Deity is so much interested in seeing that his devotees are glorified. Similarly, our Sambandh Acharya, Sanatan Goswami, Madan Mohan comes in his dream. He is being served very nicely by Purushottam Chobe, but he wants now his devotee, pure devotee, to serve him. And we see how again Madan Mohan appears in the dream of Purushottam Chobe. Purushottam Chobe is unwilling to part away with his precious deity, but he relents after he has that dream. And we see how our Sambandh Acharya, Sanatan Goswami, serves so lovingly Madan Mohan and then builds a beautiful temple for him. Similarly, Rupa Goswami builds a beautiful temple for the deities. So deity sometimes takes a role of a helpless personality. Why? He wants service from his devotees. Then sometimes he requests his devotee to preach his glories all over the world. The Lord is self-competent, he can preach all over the world. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu only preaches in India. Janma Sarthaka Kari Kara Upakar, he tells that, but he does not preach all over the world. Why? Because he wants one of his pure devotees, Srila Prabhupada, to go abroad and preach Krishna consciousness in a short span of 12 years. Again, the Lord makes Prabhupada struggle, his pure devotees struggle for nearly 40 years in India to show us the different wonderful qualities of a pure Vaishnava. His faith in the instructions of his spiritual master, his determination, his compassion, his humility, and his so many other Vaishnava qualities. So Prabhupada struggled for nearly 40 years, focusing on how I should fulfill my Guru Maharaj's wish. And ultimately, through Krishna, through writing that Srimad Bhagavatam first canto, non-different from Krishna, along with Krishna in Jaladuta, Bhagavatam 200 sets are present, and a copy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Charitamrita. along with Krishna and Mahaprabhu, Prabhupada is empowered. Because Krishna and Mahaprabhu wanted service from Srila Prabhupada, wanted glorification of Srila Prabhupada. So we see here different aspects of the deity. But for a sadhaka, it's very, very inconceivable. We see a statue of marble. But as we advance further and further, like our pure acharyas, pure devotees, they do not see a pratima. They see Brajendra Nandan. They see Krishna in the form of a deity, which is totally transcendental. They relate to him in that mood of service, and they get pleasure in glorifying him, seeing him, because their eyes are anointed with love. Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena. They are full of love for their Supreme Lord. And this is the reciprocation. That's why deity appears in this Kali Yuga. As we know that in Kali Yuga, the Lord appears in form of his sound vibration. We'll not discuss about that. And his deity form out of his causeless mercy. Mercy which is offering to his thousands, millions and millions and millions of conditioned souls who want to come back to the spiritual world. And that's why Prabhupada said, our temples are the places, are like hospitals for conditioned souls. They'll come to the temple, they'll see the beautiful form of the Lord. They can hear all the Bhagavatam classes, or they can see the wonderful behavior and reciprocating behavior of the devotees there. And they'll be inspired to take a step towards performing devotional service. Or at least they'll appreciate the environment of the temple. This will be their sukruti, which will be a stepping stone for their bhakti. And this is Prabhupada's compassionate nature. That's why he built temples all over the world and installed deities. Initially, the deity standard was not that high because the devotees were not trained. But as devotees were trained by Prabhupada, he sent Yamuna Mataji to Radha Raman temple to get trained in devotion, in how to perform deity worship. Prabhupada was expert in training, and he trained his devotees. He trained pujaris. And that's why today the standard of deity worship has come to such a level in all the ISKCON temples. And people, visitors, are inspired. They see the beautiful Shringar. They see the beautiful Aarti of the Lord. And somewhere or the other in their heart, the seed of Bhakti Lata is planted. And this is what Prabhupada is telling here in his purport, that the causeless mercy of the Lord is everywhere. We should be able to grab at it, be qualified to utilize it in the right direction. And this is Prabhupada, that's why Prabhupada is using this causeless mercy. This is an exhibition of the Lord's causeless mercy. It was out of his causeless mercy that the Lord appeared in the sacrificial area of Maharaj Nabi. Therefore, out of his causeless mercy, he comes in a form we can see. Out of his causeless mercy, the Supreme Personality of Godhead presents himself before us, so that we can see him. And Prabhupada tells us that his devotees, Krishna's devotees, are more merciful. Because of the mercy of Krishna, they are more merciful. So we are very, very fortunate to have the association and the guidance of such merciful devotees, Vaishnavas, our leaders, gurus, and acharyas. Thank you. Hare Krishna. I'll stop here. Any comments? Hare Krishna. Yugal Shyam Prabhu?
Yes, Praji.
Any questions or any comments? I'll just
check the devotees if they have some questions.
Dada Prabhu, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Everyone is thrilled. All the questions are answered. Now the time for practice has come. So your class was...
Thank you for your constant mercy on me.
Jayadev Prabhu, so I will ask a question to Jayadev Prabhu.
Radhikam Prabhuji, I am not qualified.
Thank you, Jayadev Prabhu. You are telling about the deities, how very, very nice examples of Radha Govindji, you said, and the Acharya's love for the deities, and how the Lord manifests himself in the deity form and becomes completely malleable in the hands of the devotee. I have a very important question to you. Parampuja Radhanath Maharaj, when I was talking to him, he was saying that Jayadev Prabhu has captured the heart of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was telling. And so you and Her Grace Satyavati Mataji, you people, both of you, have really touched and transformed the lives of hundreds of devotees in Pune. So, and you have been doing deity worship both in Camp Temple as well as in NVCC. One observation I'm making in your group of counselees is that you are also engaging them in singing the Vaishnava songs, and also taking care of the chapal stand, and also bringing money also, and very closely aligned with the temple, and feeling of connection to the temple. Now in the recent past, I have been expressing my lamentation to Revathipati Prabhu and other managers that many of our congregation devotees are wonderful devotees, they are wonderful leaders, they have their counselees. So counselees, they go for many trips, they do many camps, and they live like an island with their own group of devotees. And whenever we request commitment for book distribution or fundraising or services in the temple, somehow they don't feel a very strong connection to the temple. They feel like oil and water, there is no connection. So my request to you, you are a prominent leader based in Pune, and how did you develop the connectivity with the deities so strongly, and that becomes evident on a practical level by the services you are rendering along with your counselees in such a big way? Probably you are one of the biggest contributors in both funds as well as service, and we all actually see you as a role model even for brahmacharis also. So we see you like Yudhishthir Maharaj, very wonderful example. So you can kindly tell us, Prabhu, how you are cultivating it in your life as well as in your counselee's life, the connection with the temple, and also not just theoretically understanding Bhagavatam, but practically applying it in all the missionary contribution, both.
Thank you, Radhisham Prabhuji, for inspiring me. I'll quote one pastime which I heard from one of the devotees from Radha Gopinath temple. Once His Grace Krishnachandra Prabhu was asked, why are you doing so many services? What motivates you? And Krishnachandra Prabhu said, I just like doing it. I want to do it for the pleasure of Guru, Prabhupada and Krishna. And Prabhupada also, in Nectar of Instruction, informs us that the attitude of a devotee or sadhaka determines his approach or act. So it is just that I want to do it. And when you are inspired For example, I get inspired by you and all the brahmacharis who are so young, so dedicated. You do so many wonderful sevas. And when I think, where was I at that particular age? I was totally grounded in sense gratification. So you are so senior to me, all of you, all brahmacharis who have entered this ashram at such a young age and they're doing wonderful seva. So this is what I personally feel, that I'm indebted to you. I want to learn a lot from you and I want to please all of you. And because of your mercy, somehow or the other, I am doing these services.
So
I hope this satisfies you, Adisham Prabhuji.
This attitude of yours is one of gratitude and, one of gratitude. And
Hare Krishna.
Can you hear me, Prabhu? Can you hear me? Haribol, can you hear?
Hare Krishna. Could you hear Prabhuji, Radhisham Prabhuji?
I could hear you. I can hear you.
Yeah.
Hear me?
Thank you very much for being a source of inspiration for all of us. All of you, including all your wonderful team of brahmacharis. And that is my motivation.
Prabhu, I heard you.
Thank you very much.
Prabhu. Hey, Revat Prabhu, they have muted me or what?
No, we can hear you, Prabhuji.
Okay.
We can hear you.
Yeah, Prabhu, I was telling you that your attitude is one of gratitude, and because of which you are able to possess this type of consciousness. And for your people, when you train them in your counselor meeting twice in a month, what all things you teach, Prabhu, generally? Like, what inspires
them? We talk about etiquette.
Yeah, you talk about etiquette.
Yeah.
Okay.
Etiquettes, japa,
okay.
And we from Srimad Bhagavatam,
okay.
We discuss about what are the instructions or from this pastime,
okay.
What Srila Prabhupada in his purpose is teaching us,
yes.
And how we should apply that in our day-to-day life.
Okay. And you have some system of taking appraisal on who is doing what in your group and...
No, Prabhuji. We don't have that approach.
How you have different devotees who allot services for your people?
Yeah. There are 4 or 5 devotees who are instrumental in organizing and coordinating, etc.
Oh, right. And you have separate meetings with them?
Sometimes I have telephonic conversations or sometimes you meet.
Right.
But they are also charged. They don't require, they are self-motivated.
One observation I made in your group, you have many of them. Many in a good number.
Yeah. I'm fortunate.
Of course, therefore, I was very keen to know what is your secret of. One of the secrets you have revealed now is your jewel like attitude of gratitude. You have gratitude, and I think you are handing it over to others also, I think. That type of gratitude. And Satyat Mataji is there. She can add more to your answer.
She's outside.
Okay, later on you can ask her.
So I'll tell her to talk to you personally. I think she is unwilling to come in front of the camera.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Thank you for actually.
Thank you, Prabhuji, for inspiring all of us.
Actually, your example is so good. It's very inspiring to hear from you because people who are living it, when they speak, it has a lot of weight, it carries a lot of weight. Thank you, Prabhu.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. Chila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Hare Krishna.